You're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
In the beginning, there was darkness. Then, out of the void, came fire, smoke, Rodo. Fantasy excellence begins here.
This is your time.
The Rodo Experts in the Morning starts now.
It is Monday, April 3rd, 2017, and that means just one thing. That means it's opening day, ladies and gentlemen. The spring has begun. The winter is behind us. It's warm in New York City. A beautiful day for opening day. It has arrived, ladies and gentlemen. Alongside Fantasy Executive Corey Parson, Matty Moe. Back from Vegas, wearing bright yellow like Rob Gronkowski. I'm Greg Sussman. What's going on, gentlemen? Happy opening day.
Hallelujah, baby. Hallelujah.
You can just see the smile on Matt Modica's face ear to ear, baby. Like, this is him, like, when he got to Vegas, he had the teeth out. And now he's back from Vegas, and the teeth are still out. I guess it was a good trip for him.
That it was. A good trip. Exhausting, mentally and physically. Very tired. But I'm just so stoked for today.
We're back. What about you, Corey Parson? How are you? How was your weekend? Happy opening day.
Happy opening day. Same to you, Greg. You know what I'm saying? Matt, also same to you. I hope everything went well for you out there in Las Vegas. I'm sure we'll get into some of that discussion, you know what I'm saying, in a little bit. Opening day today, of course, obviously. Nice weekend. Good sports weekend. You know what I'm saying? Not only did you got opening day, you had WrestleMania last night. You know what I mean? So that was good.
You check it out?
No, I didn't. You know what I mean? But I actually saw they did a highlight package on SportsCenter. So I got kind of a gist of some of the things that went on in WrestleMania out there in Orlando last night. So I'm cool with that. But the story of the weekend, UConn women go down.
How about that? UConn women go UConn down. UConn women go down.
111 games. 111 straight games. And, you know, we spoke about what would be the biggest story on April 1st. Nobody ever thought that it would be UConn women taking a loss.
Unbelievable.
And sure enough, it definitely was. So shout out to
Dawn. And they didn't even lose to the champs.
Yeah, so shout out to Dawn Staley and South Carolina women's.
We knew South Carolina would win the national championship.
Yeah, exactly. So... and then, of course, tonight you got the big national, one shining moment, North Carolina and Gonzaga, mm-hmm. opening day. So it's a lot of things going on. It's a good time to be a sports fan. It's a good time to be listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
Absolutely. It's a big day. We'll go over more of WrestleMania on the Fantasy BFFs.
You're going to wait for BFFs
WrestleMania? You guys didn't watch. You guys don't care. Frank Stample and I were texting last night, so we watched together. Yeah. So we'll go over that with BFFs. Maybe I'll ask Jake Seeley if he wants to come by, hang out, because Mike Florio is nowhere to be found tonight. Well, I guess if you go to Citi Field, you'll find him. But.
Oh, that's where he does that, Citi Field thing?
He's big pimping in Citi Field today, baby.
Okay.
Yeah.
I wonder if he took his girlfriend with him.
I don't think so. He has season tickets, you know.
Yeah, no, he has season tickets. He's serious about his New York Met addiction.
He is.
And he's so young, he has to carry that pain with him through his whole life, you know what I'm saying? Not a wise decision, but, you know, it is. It is what it is.
Hey, it's opening day. I'm really excited about it. We had the GST draft over the weekend.
Oh, yeah.
Where I hung out with a bunch of the lunatics.
He's just playing, y'all. He's not really calling y'all lunatics. Don't send no hate.
No, it was actually very cool seeing everybody. A lot of people listen to the show. A lot of people who I haven't met and I haven't talked to came up to me and was like, hey, really big fan of the show. We listened to you at the Mothership. You came back. And they follow us now.
That's what's up.
It's really, really cool. A lot of great feedback. I listen to the show every day. They really enjoy Modica's advice, Corey's humor, and me getting yelled at. everyone, great compliments, and everyone was super into the draft that lasted 17 hours or so.
Yo, that's crazy. Remember I told you I had auctioneer duties of a 19-team league?
Yeah.
What time did y'all start at GST?
10:30-ish.
We started at 9:30?
Right.
When we wrapped up the 19-team auction,
y'all
were still drafting. I got that information through text message. Yeah. That's crazy.
Dude, it was about...
That's impressive. 19-team wrapped up like that.
Yeah, ours was a 15-team, 30-round snake, FBC rules. Started at 10:30, and we did not end to like 4.
Yeah, I was out. Yeah, I was home by 4 o'clock.
Like, I understand why Modica takes Adderall.
Yeah, is it not true?
I'm not even kidding.
You got to stay focused.
Like, and the problem was, as amazing as GST was, we weren't like seated on like a long table.
Yeah,
we're all around the restaurant.
Yeah, because they still were open for business. You're not that special.
Well, Vaccaro actually set us up on a long table.
Yeah.
And everyone just sat where they wanted to anyway. And so I can't see the draft board from where I am.
Yeah.
Lenny's announcing the entire draft. I can't hear him because it's getting loud in there because there's other customers in there.
Yeah.
So I have no idea who's getting picked. Yeah. Nando and I thought we were getting Craig Kimbrough like six rounds after he was picked. Like, all right, he's not available. All right, we'll go David Robertson. He was picked four rounds ago. Uh-huh. So you know who we picked instead?
Jenmar
Gomez.
Yay!
I am 3 for 3 in Jenmar Gomez picks.
We all the way in on Jenmar Gomez.
I'm all the way. I would never go against him.
Oh, so the Tout Wars experience, right?
Yeah.
So obviously that started by accident. I immediately cut Drew Smiley by accident. Like, geez, how did that happen?
That's okay. You know what I'm saying? At least he's not like, he didn't cut Clayton Kershaw.
Yeah, well,
yeah, he's out for 6 to 8 weeks anyway.
Yeah, I got it. Yeah, about to say, whatever. J.D. Martinez, Adrian Beltre, Devin Mesoraco, Drew Smiley. Just like that before they sing the national anthem, Craig. Before they sing the national anthem.
Rona's voodoo in
there
full effect.
There you go. Rona's voodoo is in full effect while he's just got a full roster rocking and rolling off the gate.
Speaking of the national anthem, did you watch the game yesterday? You watched the Yankees. Your Yankees. You are covered in Yankee right now.
No, sweatshirt. I did not watch the New York Yankees. I had to finish up my auctioneer duties. I was at the headquarters yesterday of the failing New York Times for one of them.
Nando was there too. No.
Yeah, Nando was there too. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So New York Times. The vending machines didn't work, so they really is failing.
Aren't they renting out like 8 floors now?
they're going downhill fast, buddy.
So I watched New York Yankees yesterday.
My
girlfriend wasn't happy, so we went out Saturday night, and I woke up early Sunday because I needed to watch some wrestling from Saturday night. So yeah. I woke up early Sunday. She gets out of bed, and she's like, "Where did you go?" I was like, "I'm watching TV." And I was like, "All right, like come find me after it's over." I'm like, "All right, sure."
Okay.
Not that come find me. It's just literally like right. open a door. Here I am.
Okay.
So I come out. She's like, "You still watching this wrestling?" I'm like, yes.
Yeah, yeah, minding my business.
My headphones are in, like,
yeah,
you know.
Yeah, I'm not bothering you. Yeah.
So she comes out. She's like, "All right, you done?" I'm like, "Well, yeah, but now the Yankees start." I timed everything perfectly. Like,
yeah.
I literally watched this from like 11 to 1, and the Yankees started at 1 o'clock. So she's this is what we're doing today. You just, I'm like, it's opening day.
What's going on?
You could have asked me like, "What do you want to do Sunday?" I would have told you I'm going to watch this wrestling before you get up, and then watch the Yankees, and then I'm gonna take a break, and then watch more wrestling, and that's it.
Yeah,
that's my day.
Yeah,
and she goes, "Oh, it's really nice." And I'm like, "So go outside." Like,
yeah. What do you want? Yeah,
I don't know what to tell you.
Yeah,
and so that's what happened.
Yeah, no doubt.
I won. I actually won this.
You deserve that, Greg. You wasn't going to lose. Oh, that yesterday with WrestleMania going down,
no.
He wasn't going to
lose. No. She knew that. I invited her to stay for WrestleMania. She quickly declined. I watched all the Yankee game, and it really went very, very poorly for me, both as a Yankee fan and as a fantasy player. So,
have NFBC rules?
We do have NFBC rules in one league.
Oh, well.
Wait, NFBC starts today?
Huh? Yeah, you can.
You can bench him. You can bench him.
We all know who you're talking about. But yeah, you get a freebie today if you're in NFBC. You don't have to start Master Hiro Tanaka this week. It'd probably be a good idea to leave him on your bench for week one after those 7 earned runs. But yes, the NFBC owners of Master Hiro Tanaka, when they set their lineups today, when their lineups go live today at around 1 o'clock, if I'm not mistaken, Matt, you can bench Master Hiro Tanaka for this week. That's a freebie.
That's a wise decision. I don't play in any trade leagues, but if you do play in a trade league and the Masahiro Tanaka owner is a bit worried, confused about what happened yesterday.
He said confused. He looks so good in the spring.
I would give him a call, send him an email, you know, say, "Hey, you know, you got to look for buying opportunities." I think Tanaka's going to be fine.
Yeah, Tanaka, I agree. I think Tanaka will be fine also. You're not going to go out there and get them every time, you know what I mean? But like you said, you do have players would be more inexperienced or willing to quickly sell. So you might, if you want to take advantage of that, that is the case. But yeah, he did. He came out here yesterday, and before they sang the national anthem, even people were like, "Oh my God, my ERA is 10. So there you go, right there.
Yeah. So
Don't tell me you have him somewhere.
I do not own Masahiro Tanaka anywhere.
Okay, good.
Actually, I don't own Tanaka in a single place.
Well, that's probably not good because he's going to be good.
Yeah, of course.
But for today.
Yeah. So I own Tanaka nowhere, and I watched the game, and I was excited. And you know what? So for the Rays, I you know who I own everywhere thanks to Matt Modica. I own Kevin Kiermaier every year, and he gets off, and he comes up, you know. So the Rays, so I'm in my head-to-head, I'm playing Chris Archer yesterday, and I'm like, okay, you know, my Bombers are going to do well. They're going to knock this guy out, this schmuck. I'm going to feel good. And then, okay, it's a nice, easy first, no big deal. And then Kiermaier gets on in the bottom of the inning. All right, this is pretty good. I had a nice walk, maybe I get a steal. It'd be nice. Gets a steal later, and I'm like, okay, I'm feeling good about Kevin Kiermaier. Nice job, Modica. I feel like he already helped me out. I feel like I nailed this one already. This is literally what's going through my mind. And then Tanaka just keeps throwing up runs. Like, I'm like, all right, I'm like, only Kevin Kiermaier is supposed to do anything. Like, I don't need Longoria hitting home runs, right? Like, I don't need like Logan Morrison doing anything. Like, why is this happening? And Masahiro Tanaka has like no answers, and this was bad and frustrating.
Yeah, the beginning of that, the first couple of innings, it looked like it was going to be both teams were going to be knocking around the starting pitchers, but
yeah, and then Chris Archer decided not to let up any more runs.
Yeah, Archer put it in cruise control after that. He loves pitching at the Trop. He locks it down. I think he had 5 strikeouts, 1 walk. The walks are what you want to see being minimalized, and that was done. So for the Yankee fans, it was a tough opener. It's game one. Shake it off. The Rays and the Chris Archer owners, that was very nice to see. And the Alex Colome sneaking the cheap save.
Yeah, the backdoor save for Colome.
Yeah, so it was the other thing. Because in this league, right, I'm playing my buddy. He's got Chris Archer. And this dickhead has Alex Colome, too.
Yeah.
And, like, he's up 7-2. You got your win. You got your quality start.
It's only one day, Greg.
Every day counts. Like, I only played this guy for another 7 days.
Yeah, you'll come back. You'll bounce back. Well, don't get too discouraged.
So this wasn't the end of the day. I mean, there's 2 more games left we're going to go over. So
it's more to come. It's more to come. Yeah.
No, well, there's only slightly more to come for him. There's a lot more to come for me because, oddly enough, I had like almost a full team yesterday. Like, I was not in the short yesterday at all. Like, so much so that I don't even have a full team today. Today's opening day. Like, I am missing 3 spots today. Everyone's got a freaking full team today. I don't. Because I had so many guys yesterday.
Okay. So, yeah, you got an early start. But that's cool, though. It'll balance out. By the time the week ends, you'll get a good snapshot of what's going on early part of the season. So,
yeah.
Yeah, so, I, you know, the Top Wars thing started yesterday. You know, I think I had Chris Archer, right?
Right.
So that was legit. You know, I mean, the rest of the damn team is hurt.
Sure. But
I had Chris Archer.
Who are you starting, Brandon Phillips or the other guy?
I end up having to put both in the lineup. So there goes that right there. Both of them actually made it into the opening day roster. You know what I mean? So
that's how you planned it.
Exactly. It's exactly how I thought it was going to go down. But yeah, I had Chris Archer go out there. Had Zach Greinke go out there yesterday too. So then I had Brandon Crawford actually end up having a good game. And Dexter Fowler was decent. So we're off and rolling. You know, Anthony Rizzo, you know what I mean? He had a hit last night. So we're off and rolling. Numbers are tabulating. You know what I mean? I currently have a 10-point lead on Adam Rodas after three games. So, yeah, that's it, Greg. You know what I'm saying? I'm pumped. I'm looking forward to the process. Looking forward to the season. You know what I mean? I'm on DraftKings right now, seeing what the slate dictates. Obviously, Clayton Kershaw is the big piece out there today. Depending on what slate you're playing, you know what I mean, with the easy game against the Dodgers versus the Padres. So it's going to be a fun day, Matt. Looking forward to it. We probably do some drinking someplace today. You gonna be around?
Yeah, I'm going to go by the
OGS. He's going to Grand Street Tavern. He's starting drinking the second the show's over.
Oh, you're going there early?
Yeah, I'm going to head on over there. You know, get the facility started a little early.
I'll still be here.
Be setting some lineups, you know.
Yeah. Is Chris going to be there?
Chris should be there.
Okay, cool. I'll be there at some point today.
Yeah.
You know, baseball you got to watch. Is that where you're going?
I'm going to do some drinking, eat some chicken wings, and then come home for the college basketball game.
Yes.
But I'll be paying attention to the baseball, also setting lineups and stuff like that.
Yeah, of course. I'm excited. So
you should come to the GSD.
Okay, I work.
Huh?
Huh? It's going to work.
I'm talking about when we get off.
Well, maybe I will.
Yeah.
Well, I was at GSC Saturday, though. You guys weren't.
Yeah, that's true.
Sorry, I was in Vegas.
Yeah, it's fine. Corey's an excuse. He had to work me money for the Braces 2017.
Braces 2017, baby.
That's actually going down later on this week.
Later this week? Braces 2017?
Yeah, so it's already taken care of.
So we got to change the name now.
I mean,
Braces off 2019, probably.
Yeah, well, don't worry. I've come to grips with it.
Hmm. So we need a new team name now. Because Braces 2017 was the team name.
Oh, broke.
No, so basically, we're going to start calling the team's now going to be Broken Corey Parson.
Yep.
Insufficient funds.
We're going to try to make those funds a lot more sufficient throughout the morning. I want to start out, go into this Yankee game a little bit more, see what you guys think. I know it's one day. We can't take much out of anything. Well, we got to talk about it, right? We got this. We had two really good games yesterday, including like a lot of closer talk on day one.
Right from the rip.
Right.
Yeah, let's break it down beyond the box score, baby.
Beyond the box score, we break it down. We're also going to preview every single game. We got a lot to talk about today also. The women, UConn women fell. We got a national championship game tonight. And we also had a crazy story in not just golf, Corey, but women's golf. A absolutely crazy story that we're going to break down as well. So this is the Road to Extra for the next 2 hours. Stick around with us, and you'll be ready to go all day long. Road to Extra continues right after this.
Don Solo.
So Road to Extra in the morning, back here with you. Opening day. Get excited. Get pumped. Except the Yankees don't play today because they already lost.
Yeah, they took an L already for the start the week with.
Yeah, no. But does it count? Is it still spring?
No. That one counted yesterday. That one counted. So
put it in the books.
Yep, a curly W. My Nationals start the day, though, so that's cool. That's what's up.
Speaking of curly W's.
Yep, my Nationals start the day, so I'm excited about them a little bit. You know, a little NL East action, you know what I'm saying? You know, because I need a team in the same division as the Mets. It's very important that I'm able to, go back and forth with New York Mets fans.
Get excited.
Because that makes me happy.
Okay. So, yesterday the Tampa Bay Rays defeated the New York Yankees 7-3, as it all turned out. This one was not as close as it may seem.
7-3 doesn't sound too close.
No.
Yeah.
Rays got off to a 3-0 lead in the first inning. Masahiro Tanaka, who allowed 4 runs in the first inning all of last year. 3 in one game here in 2017. Yankees came back with 2 in the second. Couldn't get more. Had an opportunity to get more. A little of the bases later on against Chris Archer. Got nothing. The Rays followed with 2 more in the second. 2 more in the third. That kind of did it for Masahiro Tanaka, who lasted 2 2/3. 8 hits. 7 runs. A couple of walks. A couple of strikeouts. Not a great start.
He's off to a slow start on that one. You know what it is.
No.
Stage fright.
You think that's what it is?
Stage fright. It's the big, it's opening day. Right. You're on the road. Everybody's watching. You're the first game of the season.
Yeah.
And he came out a little tight. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. I understand he's been opening days before. But whatever, you know, he's on the road. You know, just finished the spring. He's probably like, a little bit nervous, whatever.
Yeah.
So that's all that was. I wouldn't look too deep into that.
As a fan of Tanaka, I'm just going to blame it on some bad sushi.
Yeah, no doubt. No doubt. He had a bad role.
It's funny because everyone's trade Tanaka, kill Tanaka, like everyone making fun of my tweet. Oh no, I'm trying to trade for Tanaka, like all that stuff, right? And so that's the negative side of it. But on Thursday before you left for Vegas, Matt, we went over baseball over unders. Like I told both of you guys, like I kind of like the Rays. Like I kind of think like they're gonna have a nice season. And I felt vindicated after day one.
What are they? They're 1-0, Greg.
Yeah,
it's only 160.
But that's what I'm saying. Like we're over, like
be 1-160.
Like people are overreacting all of the negative with Tanaka. I want to overreact to the positive. Like I thought the Rays were going to be good. Boom, 1-0.
Yeah, so he got a home run for Evan Longoria. Longoria was like a dollar, well not a dollar make you holler, but you know he was discounted heavily in drafts. You know he was going a lot of teams as a corner infielder, right, Matt?
He was still the third base, okay. But like you say, he wasn't coming off the season that he had last year.
30 home runs last year.
Yeah, he did not get the love. I guess people, you know, he's another year older. The Rays lineup, Tropicana Field. I guess you put all that into, and they figured maybe that was his best year that he was going to have going forward.
Yeah, no, it's interesting because the GST draft over the weekend, I asked if we could draft Evan Longoria. I was like, no, what do you think of Longoria? Like, he's still there. Like, what do you think? He's like,
I don't like him.
Pretty much. it's pretty much how it went.
Yeah, he's like, Jed Jerko will be there for us.
Don't worry about it.
He was not, for the record. He was not there. So
Jerko played for, well, go ahead. I was going to say,
he started
for college, yeah.
Yes,
he's part of a platoon.
But, so for Tampa Bay here, Chris Archer, 7 innings of 2-run ball, threw over 100 pitches yesterday. No limit there. You saw that a lot yesterday. I'm used to some of these pitchers being pulled a little bit early opening day. Not so much. We saw a lot of pitchers go very, very deep.
I mean, I think I don't have a problem with it. These are their aces. These are the stud guys on their teams. These aren't young kids.
We're last in GST already. God.
I mean, these aren't some young kids that they're throwing out there. I think it's fun. I get more worried about, you know, the stressful innings and that than the pitch count. I mean, a lot of these guys, like they talked about Bumgarner, he's man enough to say when he's done to the coaches. He's not one of those guys that'll try and get the extra out and try and keep himself in. I think that's the most important thing. When you're a pitcher, when you're a starting pitcher and you've hit that wall, that's when you need to get out. When you continue on, that's where the injuries could.
And then where you get in trouble too.
Yep.
I feel like this team is not the. This isn't right. This is not how I planned this.
What's wrong with you, Greg?
Look at my GST team, and I deleted it. The order I had anybody in, now it's not right.
Tell me how this team turned out, please.
We'll do that later. We're talking about the Yankees.
Okay.
Now. All right. I'll play in a second. So Archer goes 7 innings, and Alex Colome. This save rule needs to change. The base is loaded. The tying run's not even off. He's on deck, and Colome comes in and gets a save.
Well, that's the definition for tying.
It's not even fair.
No.
Yeah, the save rule is, I mean, overall is a joke, but that's the world we live in.
Well, it's stupid. I'm just saying. So the Yankees bullpen does actually a very nice job. No runs.
Yeah,
six innings of ball here.
They came through. They came through. They pitched well. They held the Rays down. You know what I mean? They stopped the bleeding. They couldn't,
Adam Warren pitches two and a third with 18 pitches.
Who's that?
Adam Warren.
Tell me, what do you know about him?
You know about Adam Warren? He was a starter for the Yankees, a bullpen guy, traded to the Cubs, traded back from the Cubs.
Yeah, I heard his name. He's been around.
Yeah, the Yankees have some nice arms that they could, use for middle relief or possibly spot starts, or one of those guys is going to be the fifth starter. I'm really not sure how it's going to wind up playing out over the season. But you got Warren, you got Brian Mitchell. You know, these are guys that can do dual roles. That the Yankees are going to need that kind of help this year with the current rotation they have.
Yes, yes, they are. What?
This is Matthew, he got a kick out of that. He got a kick out of saying that.
He's allowed to.
No, it's been a long time since he's been able to cheer.
Yeah. It all changes in 2017.
The Rays yesterday, led by Evan Longoria, who we just spoke about. He went 2-for-4 yesterday, had that home run. Logan Morrison also had 3-for-4.
I didn't know who was. We was doing the. I was doing auctioneer duties the other day, and somebody threw out Logan Morrison, and I was like, "He's still playing?"
Yeah, I was about to say he was not a name I mentioned one time on this show.
Still playing Logan Morrison.
Yeah, somebody in the NFBC paid like $107 to get Logan Morrison yesterday.
In fact?
Yeah, in fact. I mean, you get to put that home run, the 3-for-4, and the 3 RBIs, but 100.
Is it that serious? Yeah.
Yeah, that's a little crazy for me. I mean, look, I would like to add that in, but I ain't paying. I did pay in one league $104 for Jason Grilly, though.
Okay. All right, that makes sense.
So you had $104 on Jason Grilly.
That's 10%.
I was trying to figure out how much to go.
I mean, I got him for cheaper in other leagues, but the one league that I kind of really could use him, and with a back injury to a pitcher that could always go longer, I said, you know what, 10% sounds fair. We'll see how long this 10-day DL stint winds up being, because, as I just mentioned, with the back, it gets a little scary at times.
If you can get like six saves, that'd be cool.
Yeah, no, I mean, you have to try and take. I really didn't want to spend that much. I got him in some other leagues cheaper. One league I bid 84, yeah. I lost out. Somebody had 88. But then I bid 72. I lost out with 74.
Yeah.
So, but I did get him somewhere else for kind of cheap.
All right.
You got to take these little shots. So if you need that closure guy, who knows? Maybe it ends up being closes for a month or so.
You know, it's interesting because that was the despite all the games yesterday, the Osuna injury like kind of snuck up on everybody.
That came out of nowhere
because like he had some soreness that kind of went underreported because he pitched through it, and we didn't think it was a big deal. And now like we don't know how long he's been on the DL with his back injury. We're also all assuming that Jason Grilly is going to be the closer. They did not say he will be.
That's correct. That's a good point, Greg. Joe Pagani, who I have in my AL only league.
He's in your league.
And I did scoop up in a couple of leagues that I did not get Grilly. He was my conditional waiver wire. I spent like $30 on him to put on the team. He's a good reliever, somebody that at one point they even talked about possibly putting him into the rotation. So if I didn't get Grilly, I think Grilly is going to get the first crack.
I think so, too.
He's the guy there. But, you know, it's another guy just to have, you know, I dropped some other scrub guy in, like, waiting, so... You know, you got to take chances early. And like I said, for a few dollars, it's worth it.
So they write that guy's name down so you can pick him up in Tout Wars. And I, you know, Corey.
Oh, yeah. No. I had to break out the trusty notepad.
You got the notepad for this.
I'm just writing.
He has a computer in front of him.
I'm just jotting little certain things down.
He's like, screw Excel.
I'm just jotting.
I like Modica's technology. He's got an iPad out. You got the computer out. You're going with an old notebook without a pen.
Yeah, I'm going to have to find a pin in the break.
Well, I have to say, for the iPad, the MLB app is, like, fantastic on the iPad.
So. I'm beating the streak. We're trying to win $5.6 million. I'll let you guys know that.
What happened?
I'm trying to win $5.6 million.
How?
Beat the streak.
Oh, okay. All right, well.
You don't think they're going to win $5.6 million?
No, it's nice to dream, but if you do win it...
I don't have to give you anything after that reaction.
Not even nothing.
He will pay for the braces.
After that,
he wins $5.6 million.
After that reaction, I'll pay for your kids' Modica braces. Oh, this guy over here. For the Rays, like I said, Kevin Kiermaier had a really nice day. Went 2 for 3, couple runs, score, a couple of walks. This is what we wanted, Kevin Kiermaier, right, Matt?
You know it, baby.
Beautiful, getting on base, stealing bases, love it. Brad Miller went 2 for 5. Should I have been more in on Brad Miller this offseason?
Well, the thing with Brad Miller, too, is he gives you that nice position eligibility at first shortstop. And he was a guy that I don't really have that many shares of, but a guy that I don't think he's going to hit. I mean, maybe 30 home runs might be his all-time high. But I do believe he's a 20 home run hitter, possibly 10 stolen bases. So a guy that I do think was overlooked by a lot of people.
Yeah, especially because, as you just mentioned, all that eligibility that he has, corner and middle infield. Over to the Yankees, starting Castro had a nice day. Chase Headley bunted through the shift. It's great.
Yeah.
It was awesome. It was a perfect bunt, and it's going to stop people from shifting against him. I loved it. What's up?
I'm not that excited about him bunting.
Yeah, but you should be excited that Chase Headley got a hit. So.
Aaron Judge hit one really far. He did go out, but hit one really far.
I saw that one.
That was cool. That was his only hit of the day, which was annoying. But he threw some nice cuts. That was exciting.
He got more hits than Greg Bird, though.
He got more hits than Greg Bird and Gary Sanchez combined.
Correct.
Gary Sanchez did not have a good day, Corey.
No, but you know, listen, slow starts happen, so don't even trip off of Gary Sanchez. He was 0-for-5.
I just wanted him to do something, and he did not.
He's got plenty of time.
He had opportunities yesterday, and he didn't come through. He didn't watch the game. He would have been more frustrated at him.
Oh, he was up in big spots.
Yes.
Yeah, that sucks when
he
that happens.
He left 5 guys on base.
Oh, that's like Alex Rodriguez.
A-Rod,
you suck. I hate you.
A-Rod did a little pregame yesterday for the Yankees.
He's good on TV.
It's amazing how I did not want to like A-Rod, but he's pretty damn awesome as a...
What do you mean? I've changed on him. Like, at one point, I hated him.
Right.
You know what I mean?
I feel like everyone has. I feel like everyone's changed on him.
At one point, I hated him, but now I like him much better now. He's a much more personable guy.
Yeah.
I like the fact that he took the Yankees on. Like, no, y'all going to give me my damn money. You know what I'm saying? I love that. I'm always for standing up, you know,
for
to
money.
The powers that be. You know what I'm saying?
Of course. That's
yeah.
you.
Yeah. It's kind of how
stand up to the man.
I like hearing him talk baseball, but he's as phony as they come. I
mean, come on, man. You don't like him standing up to the Yankees and getting his money?
Oh, yeah. No, well, that money was his.
Exactly.
I don't blame
money
him for
was
that.
His. Yeah, exactly.
I'm just saying as a person, he's like one of those. He's a guy that was great, but he's just like a phony bastard that would just try, like, always like trying to, like, take Jesus,
you know,
like, spotlight.
You know what I think it is? I think he's just jealous of the J-Lo thing.
You think it's the J-Lo thing? But why, you know, explain why more, why you don't like Alex Rodriguez besides you, a Met fan.
Oh, he's the steroids, the lying.
Doesn't care about the steroids. I mean, he doesn't care about the steroids.
He threw Cousin Yuri under the bus. I mean,
come on.
I mean, look, I mean, he came out like he Cousin was this holier than now, all this, right, you know, lie.
Right, look.
God bless him. He made, what, over $500 million playing baseball. Yeah. So I'm not killing him for that. But I just think, you know, what are those interviews, if you go back, if it's in print or they had it on TV, it's just like you're looking at this guy and you're like, this dude is just lying right there.
You know what Aaron's kind of like?
Okay, but that was the unlikable A-Rod.
You know what Aaron's kind of like? He's kind of like Tiger Woods, right? Like,
I can see that.
Like, secretly bringing the strippers back in the Toronto hotel room, and then he gets caught doing it. Yeah. And like, whatever.
That, when he had the strippers in the Toronto hotel room, see, A-Rod's the type of guy that will, like, get some strippers and won't tell nobody else. It'll be like four strippers, and everybody be like, what were you doing? Like, he'd be like, nothing. And you'd be like, I saw four strippers in the lobby. And you'd be like, oh, really? That's, A-Rod is that type of cat. Like, if I had strippers, I would invite my homies over. You know what I'm saying?
Huh?
Yeah, I would invite y'all. Yeah. If cool. I had, like, you know, we went to Toronto, and we had some ladies come up to the room. I was like, yo, come through. We got some ladies.
Do you think they were strippers or they were pros?
I don't know. I'm not going to speculate on that. Yeah, it was ladies there. You know what I'm saying?
That's a thin red line anyway, gray area.
Yeah. it's a pretty big line.
But what I want, I want A-Rod to, you know, invite his friends. See, I didn't like, because when they was losing that, you know, when they was losing, like when it like was getting like towards the end, and like he was terrible again, and Derek Jeter was hurt, and it was like, okay, this is starting to look sad now. When he was like, he got that girl in the stands number. That's when I was like, you turned your back on the team when you did that. You feel what I'm saying? Like, I don't like stuff like that. That's when I was like, this guy, like, get him away from me. But then when he came back and they was fighting and the Yankees didn't want him there and he was, like, carrying the team, you know what I'm saying? And he was like, y'all can give me my money. That's when I was like, go ahead, A-Rod. And now, as a TV personality, I like him.
Oh, yeah. No, I'm happy he took the Yankees' money. Don't get me wrong. I'm happy he took it. And like I said, I'm a fan of him on TV. I didn't want to like him, but I think he's really good. He's better than most, in my opinion.
Because he's so smart. He's a baseball guy. Correct. Like he's a batting cage rat.
Absolutely. Speaking of awesome players, Madison Bumgarner is one of them. Perfect through five yesterday. That kind of unraveled in a very, very good Giants Diamondbacks game. And talk about closers, Fernando Rodney, Mark Melancon, both closers, both did not have a good opening day. We'll break those guys down next here on the Roto Experts in the Morning. Roto Experts in the Morning returns, opening day. Maddie, the Giants, after last year, they'll have bullpen problems and not trading for Mark Melancon, made it their priority to go out and sign Mark Melancon. That was like the number one goal for them this offseason. So it almost seems apropos that on day one, Mark Melancon blows the save.
Yeah, that's baseball. I mean,
Susan.
Melancon, I mean, if you look back at the Giants season last year, I think they blew like 30 saves. Five in September, which is kind of remarkable. And Melancon comes in, all supposed to be good, and it did not go well. I mean, it was day one. Maybe you want to go with Corey Stagefright, you know, first day with the team, you know, little hiccups. But
before they even sang a national anthem, he's blowing saves. You know what I'm saying? They went out, this is the piece right here. And you're like, you can't beat the Dodgers with this guy blowing saves. But listen, once again, new team, new environment, it's opening day. You want, like, the new fans, your new teammates to be like, that's, you know, you're a beast, man. You know what I'm saying? And sometimes adrenaline gets a little bit pumping and rolling and stuff like that. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And, you know, you lay an egg in front of your new homies. So it can be embarrassing at first, right?
Right.
But he'll get past it. He'll move on. So he probably, like, on the team bus was, like, you know, going to the airport or whatever, getting to the charter, or maybe just back at the hotel at the team meal. He probably was like, listen, I'm sorry, fellas. You know, I blew a save. I apologize for that. I'm not going to blow no more saves. I understand blowing saves has been a thing here. This is not status quo. So just let me, you know, I'm new here. It's my first day. Because sometimes your first day can be difficult.
Yeah, and the thing with Melancon is over the last 3 years, he's led baseball in saves, 131 saves and 141 opportunities. And, of course, opening day for the...
Yeah.
I mean, and on the flip side, Fernando Rodney was everything you expected him to be.
Okay, all right. And we have the culprit.
he gave up the run and everything, and he gets the win. So yeah, it was a Fernando Rodney outing as expected.
That's what I love when I see like the closer getting the win. I'm like, what did you do stupid?
Twice yesterday.
Yeah, what did you do stupid that you actually got to win?
I see the same thing. Like, I texted my buddy who's texting me, oh, Randall Grisham, Sandro, come on, get the save now, yeah. And I was like, huh, sucks for you, dude. And then he's like, that worked out okay. I'm like, But you're 100% right. Like, what did you do wrong to get this win?
Exactly. Because you're not supposed to be getting wins. So something happened. You did something stupid to get this win.
That's exactly what happened. And it really kind of blew up what was going to be an unbelievable pitching performance. Madison Bumgarner, who was perfect through five.
And he hit two home runs.
And he hit two home runs.
We couldn't get those on our
He allowed team, one home though. Run. He hit two.
So we couldn't get those home runs on our roto team, though, because, you know, on your baseball team. Why don't they give the pitchers their hits?
So a lot of people always say this. Like, I want Bummy's home runs in my team. Or, like, well, I want them. The problem is, you got to get the outs, too.
Yeah, when he goes 0-for-4 and strikes out for a time, you're not going to want those.
You don't want those. Yeah, exactly. But, I mean, on the Bumgarner, I mean, the dude he should be like on the Brony Towels thing. He's like that old school guy. And the pitching performance was phenomenal. I mean, he did give up three runs, the home run to AJ Pollock.
All the sixth inning, of course.
Yeah, but the 11 strikeouts, zero walks. And on the flip side, Zach Greinke looked to be in a little trouble in that first.
He got through it.
He got out of it, and, you know, he gave you five innings, two-run ball, four strikeouts, two walks.
Yeah, you know, he got through it yesterday to Zach Greinke. He looked really, really shaky early, but it wasn't, like, really his doing. It was, like, shaky fielding behind him, some shaky calls, like walks, balls and strikes. Like, he battled yesterday, Zach Greinke. Mm-hmm. If I'm a Zach Greinke owner, I'm kind of okay with this.
Yeah.
I would be okay with it, too. Yeah, I agree with your assessment.
It wasn't bad. You're okay with this because the stuff was a little diminished, but it was okay. It was okay. On the other side, Bummy was Bummy. You drafted Bummy as your ace. You're annoyed you didn't get the win. We got an awesome performance, the 11 strikeouts. The A.J. Pollock home run was annoying, but besides that, really good outing from him.
And just to touch on like A.J. Pollock, I mean, health is this guy's only hurdle. If this guy is fully healthy, plays a full season, this is one of the better hitters in all of baseball. I mean, to me, you had to discount him for the past health, but he would be to me a borderline, you know, first round pick, definitely a second round pick, and a guy that hopefully can stay healthy and, you know.
Yeah, so I like him.
This is kind of what we said, right, Matt? That like A.J. Pollock's going for some people in the third round. And he's a first-round talent, right? And if he stays healthy, you're getting a first-round talent and a third-round pick.
I got him in the fourth round Saturday in the Vegas main event. I was ecstatic.
Ecstatic, yeah.
Ooh, and a 15-teamer?
And a 15-teamer.
Wow, that's nice.
Yeah, I was hoping to, in my in that keeper league draft I did last week, I wanted him at the 2-3 turn, and I just missed out on him. Like two picks, so didn't work out. You know the annoying thing is? When Arizona ultimately put up six runs in this game, three against Bummy and then three more against Melanson. Or two more against Melanson, and then one more against Derek Law. And it's six runs. And when I got two guys playing for Arizona, I want some action, right? Like a run, an RBI, something, you know? Mm-hmm. Six runs. Like, I'm just looking for a runner or an RBI here. I got nothing.
It hurts.
Yeah, Mike Tomas went 0-for-4 and struck out three times.
Well, I mean, the one thing I'll try and walk you off the ledge.
Please
with
do. I want to drop him already.
The power is real.
Drop him, Greg.
And no. He's going up against Madison Bumgarner. You have to take that into consideration.
He's a lefty.
Yeah, even though he's a lefty. If you're going up against, like, Bumgarner, Scherzer, Syndergaard, or whoever.
These guys are good.
Jeff Mathis got three hits. Why couldn't Yasmani Tomas get any?
Hey, yeah, well, it was good that Tomas was in the opening day lineup. He did deal with some injury in the spring, so it was a good sign that he's back. So you got to look at the positives. It's a new beginning.
Brandon Drury had one hit, so that could have been worse. He struck out twice, and that was annoying. Jake Lamb also struck out three times. That The 4-5-6 hitters struck out a combined 8 times yesterday against Bummy and the Giants.
He's good. He's going to do that.
I know. Paul Goldschmidt 2-for-4. Chris Owings went 2-for-4 as well. For the Giants, a lot to talk about here. Bumgarner goes deep twice, which is absurd.
Those were some nice shots, though, too.
There were no doubters, man.
That second one was beautiful.
The first one was, too.
Yeah, but that second one really...
He can play pretty good.
Yeah, he wants to be in the home run derby.
But, I mean, a guy that I really don't own any shares of.
Eduardo Nunez. I don't own him anywhere.
E5.
I was out on him because he went through those spring injuries. I'm like, you know what? He's not going to have the kind of year he had last year. Blah, blah, blah. And then Nunez, batting in the sixth spot in this order, goes 3-for-4, runs scored an RBI, 2 stolen bases yesterday. And he was agile. He was quick. He was jumpy yesterday. He was ready for opening day.
Yeah, he's on pace for 324 stolen bases.
And Bumgarner's on pace for how many home runs?
That would be 324
home runs. Yeah.
But yeah, no, I mean, Brandon Crawford
had a
is
nice
another
little
guy.
Day.
Had a nice little game. Was happy to see that. I own him in a lot of places. I just think he's a really good player. I mean, defensively, he's elite. And I like to see him get a little more offensive love.
Denard Span got caught stealing yesterday. That would have been nice for his owners, which is not me. 2-for-5 yesterday, while Buster Posey and Brandon Belt each still get hits. Hunter Pence batting third in this lineup. Is that a surprise to you, Corey?
No, I kind of figured that's where he would be.
All right.
At least that's what roster resources.
That makes sense.
Yeah, but he's healthy. I mean, if Hunter Pence can stay healthy, he's going to be a nice
value.
Yes, a nice value for his owners this year.
All right. So, yeah, Giants, Diamondbacks, played a good one. They'll play again, of course, tomorrow. Come back, one more game from yesterday. That was another really good one.
That was
the Cubs
really
the Cardinals. I didn't see much because this WrestleMania thing was 18 hours long, almost as long as my GST drive.
Oh, Rob Gronkowski was in WrestleMania.
Oh,
I was in the restroom?
Yeah.
Sorry.
It's okay. Gronk was there. We'll talk about him a little bit. We'll come back and talk a little about the Cardinals, the Cubs, Sunday Night Baseball when we return. We're Experts in the Morning. We'll be back right after this. So, as I said, one more game from yesterday. That was Sunday Night Baseball. The Cubs and the Cardinals, the old-fashioned rivalry. And I know you were rooting hard against the Cardinals here, Corey.
I wasn't rooting for the Cardinals.
No, you were not. And this was another unbelievable pitching matchup yesterday. Carlos Martinez and John Lester. A lot of people wondered how John Lester would react without having David Ross behind the plate. And if one day was any indication, which it, of course, is not. Pretty solid, you know, 5 innings, 7 strikeouts, just 1 run, bunch of hits.
Yeah, I mean, John Lester's a warhorse. I mean, I understand Ross has been his battery mate, the guy that, you know, he's his partner in crime. But, I mean, this guy's been doing it for so long, and he's on a great team with great defense. So, I mean, I wasn't that worried about that whole thing. I think that would just work itself out. Wilson Contreras is a very good young defensive catcher as well.
So he was, you know, he let up one run in those 5 innings to John Lester. Everyone was like, okay, all right, it's probably a solid game. And then you go to the other side, and Carlos Martinez was just straight up dominant. 7 1/3, 6 hits, 10 strikeouts. And I told you, I really liked Carlos Martinez after watching WBC, in all honesty. Like, that was one of the guys that the WBC turned me on to. And I thought pairing like him and Tanaka was a really good 1-2 punch. If he didn't get the Kershaws, the Arrietas, the Lesters, the Bummies, the Scherzers of the world, I thought having Carlos Martinez was a nice start. And at least through one game, it turned out to be true. He was just absolutely filthy yesterday in those 7 1/3 innings. 10 strikeouts, did not walk a single batter. The hits were mostly soft. 105 pitches. He was awesome yesterday.
Well, the thing I take away most from this box score, and as you mentioned, the WBC, Martinez had a fantastic spring. The only thing I was worried about coming into the year was he didn't get the control down last year. I thought that step would have happened last year. But this is year 3 as a starter, and the most encouraging sign to me was the 0 walks. That is phenomenal for his game. 25, this could be the big leap that, you know, is going to be a nice return on investment for his owners and stuff. He was, as you said, flat out in control of that game. And early on, when he had base runners on, he gets that you know, he's got such a good ground ball that, you know, that that'll save him in times when he is in trouble as well. So that was the biggest takeaway for me, is looks like Martinez, he got the strikeouts back up too. That was another thing that dropped last year, was his strikeout rate, which was a little concerning, like, you know, why is this guy with all this talent, you know, regressing in strikeouts? But if yesterday was any indication,
he should be good to go.
Full speed ahead.
Full speed ahead indeed. So both starting pitchers did quite well, and it was a 3-0 game headed to the ninth. Pedro Strop allowed a couple of runs as well. And then you get to, after the Randall Grichuk home run. Randall Grichuk, we talked about him a little bit last week, a little bit undervalued after a disappointing year last year, comes out, homers. That's not the last we would hear of Randall Grichuk. So Sinwang Oh comes out, gets first guy no problem, hits Ben Zobrist. Then he winds up getting a ground out, really, to Matt Carpenter, who got lost there at first base. You know, he hadn't played first base, got lost out there, Bodica.
Yeah, unfortunately, when they made the pitching change is when I passed out. I mean, I was just trying
exhausted.
I was just trying to fight on, but, you know, the battery just ran out on me. But this morning, I was looking at everything. But the one thing about Randall Grichuk, the most important takeaway for me was in that sixth inning against Carl Edwards. When he was down 0-2 in that count, the 2016 Randall Grichuk would have struck out on the next pitch, like, no question asked. He worked it to a full count and worked out a walk. And that was, like, as a Randall Grichuk owner, that was one of the most encouraging things that could have happened. And then what happened later on in that game, he follows it up with a home run and then gets the game-winning hit. So that's something I think everybody should, who owns him, should be very happy.
Yeah, because then that gives you a state that, you know, he's not giving up.
And he's improved. He's improved his plate discipline. You know, he's not just chasing everything. So that for me, one of the things that, yeah, the home run was great, the game-winning hit, but what happened before that that led to it? That's things you need to look at, and that's the most encouraging sign for me.
That's a good call there. So then, as I said, Matt Carpenter bobbles the ball, doesn't throw the second, throws the first too late, gets nobody out, which brings up Wilson Contreras, who went down 0-2, and Contreras, earlier in the evening, struck out a couple of times, and it was a bit of a disappointing night for him until 0-2. He gets down 0-2, lays off the next pitch, and then goes yard the one after that. A three-run bomb for Wilson Contreras, and I'm sure all Cardinals fans are like, these freaking Cubs. These freaking Cubs. Mike Montgomery, man that got the last out in the World Series last season, loses the fifth starter job to Brett Anderson. He comes out, and Randall Grichuk gets the job done for him with a game-winning single. Nice game for Jose Martinez, who pinch hits because he hits a double that basically hits the top of the wall. Had a nice spring. He comes on, hits the big double. Let's load the bases, and Grichuk gets the job done with the game-winning single. Yadier Molina, who is now richer than ever, he went 2-for-3 in this one. Also walks twice, so a good game for him. Amides Diaz, he was 2-for-5, and Corey John Lester's inability to throw to first base still on display as the Cardinals were running yesterday with Diaz with two stolen bases, tying Eduardo Nunez for the league lead.
Yeah, no doubt about that. That is something that we've known, especially in DFS circles, about John Lester is, he is a player that you can run on, so and it still goes down that way. Yeah, new year, same me.
Yeah, I think in 2017, more National League teams have to take advantage of John Lester and not being able to throw the first base.
They're just going
to
run and run and run.
I wonder why it is that he can't throw the first base.
It's called the yips, I believe.
I wonder if rain's going to be a big factor today.
Well, Tony was also talking about it. There's a couple of games. I think there's three games where it's like raining in the forecast.
Yeah, I think Detroit's 100%.
Is Detroit playing the White Sox?
Detroit and San Diego. Oh, the San Diego.
Right, it's playing the White Sox. Detroit, that was the one game you're really nervous about because that's like the 100% chance.
Kansas City and Minnesota have rain. And then I believe Philadelphia and Cincinnati could have rain also.
We
come right into day one. With everything, you know what I'm saying? We got blown saves and stolen bases.
Yeah,
walk-offs and home runs and pitchers hitting home runs. And
I guess I shouldn't feel so bad, but yes, my it's so awesome. Chris Bryant also an over 4-3.
Yeah, exactly.
It's one game.
Relax, it's one game, Greg. We keep having to tell you that.
But, Corey, remember, the sun is shining on Citi Field today. God is happy.
Oh, God.
It
I
is.
I can't do that with Citi Field.
The beautiful got, day.
Not only
We're
that.
We're Mets play.
1 o'clock.
1 o'clock.
Yeah, and not only that, when we come back on the other side, we got lineups. We got lineups for opening day that are out already, gentlemen.
cool. I like lineups.
We got the Marlins are out. The White Sox and the Tigers, who probably even aren't going to play because of rain. Those lineups are out, which is nice. The Phillies and Reds, who might not play because of rain. Those lineups are out. We have a bunch of lineups to talk about. We'll have it covered all through the day in the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. We'll preview all these games. Talk a little WrestleMania. Talk about Gronk. And also talk about that golf thing, which is crazy to me. Break it all down. This hour. 1 hour down. One more to go. Roto Experts continues after this.
You're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
In the beginning, there was darkness. Then, out of the void, came fire, smoke, Roto. Fantasy excellence begins here.
This is your time.
The Roto Experts in the Morning starts now.
Hour number two of the Roto Experts in the Morning is live on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network alongside Matty Moe, Corey Parson. I'm Greg Sussman. Up next, Old School Fantasy Opening Day Edition.
Yep, opening day. Grand opening, grand closing. So we got that coming up in the hour time, the top of the hour. Of course, it's the opening day celebration right here on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. I am pretty excited. We got some lineups dropping already. We already got points tabulating for baseball. I'm looking at that one. I'm on DraftKings. I'm looking at that slate that starts at 1 p.m. with nine game slate that starts at 1. Mm-hmm. That'll be the slate I work off today for DFS purposes. I've already identified my two starting pitchers. So I feel good. You know what I'm saying? I've identified the pitchers. I got to put the lineups together. Obviously, a lot of people are going to be on the Dodgers today. Clayton Kershaw. Not to mention, the San Diego Padres and Julius Chachin is the starter. So, a lot of things to get to, you know what I'm saying? A lot of time to get to it. Full day right here on the network. We'll be live all day long. So, make sure you keep it locked in with the homies.
First game of the day is at 1:05. It's the Marlins and the Nats. Steven Strasburg taking on Edison Volquez. And we have a lineup for the Marlins right now.
Yeah, look at this. So, for the Marlins, D. Gordon is leading off. Right? We know
makes
that
sense.
Already.
Yeah,
he's
yeah.
the fastest guy in the country. So you might as well hit him first. And then we got JT Realmuto. They got the catcher hitting second, so that's cool. You know what I mean?
He's got some legs, though.
Oh, yeah.
Stole bases last year.
Oh, okay. And then we got a Christian Yelich, who's a good player. He's hitting third.
Christian Yelich, who batted at third all spring for the WBC, the Americans.
Yep, he played with us.
He probably won a batting championship at one point in his career.
So people say.
Yep, that's what everybody says about the young man. Hitting cleanup for the Miami Marlins is Giancarlo Stanton, the big right-hander.
But I really feel after that, it really goes downhill.
Well, you know what? I don't mind the 5 and 6 and, Derek Dietrich is, one of those guys you put in here or there. But I think
Justin Bour is batting fifth, by the way. Marcelo Osuna, mm-hmm. sixth. Derek Dietrich, seventh. Then Echeverria, eighth. And then Edison Volquez, opening day starter, number 9.
I just really need Giancarlo Stanton to play at least 145 games this year.
Yeah.
Or I'm in a lot of trouble. Because I got way too much Stanton. And there were times I didn't even want the guy, but he would fall to you. Or I have a couple of partners. I have Chris Vaccaro and I have Vlad Sedler. And they both, love Stanton too. So I was just getting him everywhere. So we're going to see how that falls out. But one thing I want to say before is the Marlins lineup is out. And, pretty much, I guess, what we would expect that lineup to look like.
Yeah.
We're all dying to see the Nationals lineup.
Correct.
That's one of the ones
we want to see.
That's the one.
Where's Adam Eaton hitting?
That's going to be the breaking news one right there.
That's one of the ones we want to see.
That's
big for DFS purposes, too.
No doubt. I got the lineup alerts. So as they come in, I'm checking for that Nats one. So we got that. We got the Marlins. We got another National League East team.
The Atlanta Braves. They're facing the Mets today.
They're my favorite team today, the Atlanta Braves. They're going up against the New York Mets, so I wish them a ton of luck. This Atlanta Braves ball club. So they got Ender Inciarte leading off.
Mm-hmm.
I have him in Tout Wars.
Okay.
So I hope he starts off and does well.
He had some
today.
Second half last year.
Yeah, he's steal bases. He runs fast. Then they got Dansby Swanson batting second. See, we talked about this in the month of March when I was saying, Swanson could be a good play. They was like, hey, he's probably going to be batting the bottom half of that lineup. I was like, I think he's going to be batting second. He comes out batting second. Dansby Swanson, how you feel about him, Matt?
I think he's going to be a really good player. I think...
Too early?
Well, he hasn't played that much. He hasn't had that much experience. I think he's in a nice spot between... having Freddie Freeman behind you is definitely going to help his game. It's going to help him see the fastballs. Inciarte should get on base a lot. So I think he's in a nice spot. I don't... As far as fantasy purposes... I don't know if this is the year to be on him. I know some people really like him. I'm kind of off him for 2017, but I think he has a bright future.
I'm also off him in 2017.
Okay, I'm on him. I'm not on him nowhere, but I'm on him. Mm-hmm. Freddie Freeman, as the aforementioned Freddie Freeman, he bats third. Obviously, we know how great he is. I hope he starts off well versus the Mets today. Matt Kemp is hitting cleanup for this team, so that's also good. Then they got Nick Markakis, who's like a dollar make you holler type guy. Then they got Brandon Phillips, that dude BP batting six. So you got Brandon Phillips, another one of my Tout Wars guys.
That's why I rang the bell.
Yeah, I mean, I'm a big fan of Phillips. I love the trade to Atlanta. He's going back home. Maybe this is his swan song season, but I think you're going to see a 280 or above average. You're going to see at least 10 homers, 10 stolen bases once again.
All right, then we got Adonis Garcia. He's playing third base. He's hitting 7 for the Atlanta Braves. Tyler Flowers, ring the bell. Ring the bell. He's on my top one. I got a lot of Braves, and I hope they win today. So you got Tyler Flowers, and then Julio Teheran is the pitcher for the Atlanta Braves. So that's what we got, Atlanta Braves front right there.
I think that's a pretty damn good lineup.
I think it's nice.
It's deep. I mean, even Garcia, he's a guy that, you know, I think what he hit last year, 270, like 15 home runs. Tyler Flowers I have everywhere as my catcher, so I need this dude to step it up as well.
Batting eighth's annoying, though.
Well, yeah, I mean, but I just want him to be the primary guy. He should be because of his framing expertise, so that's a good thing. It's not going to be that easy of a game for the Mets. Julio Teheran is a good pitcher.
Against the Mets, too, right?
He does good against the Mets, and I think he's underrated in many circles.
All right, so there you go right there. So we want to do some more of these, Greg? Yeah. We got plenty.
Let's continue on.
Right, so then we... Go ahead.
At 410, you got the one that's probably going to be rained out. 67% chance precipitation according to what I'm seeing. The White Sox, the Tigers. Boy, you're chewing on that straw hard over there, huh?
He's pumped up.
Jeez. The Tigers and the White Sox, Justin Verlander against Jose Quintana.
Yep. So we got Verlander and Quintana. They square off at 410. This is the game with 76% chance of rain.
Right. So now for the Tigers, I think it was interesting because there was a rumor that with the J.D. Martinez injury, Nick Castellanos would be down, you know, in that fifth spot with everybody up one, which is kind of annoying for his value. Instead, Castellanos batting exactly where he did all spring, number two. I'm sorry, his name's not Nick anymore. It's Nicholas. He's going by Nicholas now.
Okay, I did not know that. There you go right
there. So it's Nicholas Castellanos, and he batting second.
Like a mob boss.
Maybe it was his mob boss father's like, you go by Nicholas.
So. Yes. Nicholas Castellanos.
So we had Ian Kinsler leading off. Steakhouse. Castellanos second. Nicky third. Victor Martinez is fourth. Justin Upton five. And then it all goes downhill, Corey.
Who the hell is this?
Mikey Matuk.
Mikey Matuk? Who is that?
Do you like how he spells Mikey?
Yeah, this is... We talked about baseball the last 8 weeks. I did not hear this name one time.
You can thank J.D. Martinez for that.
Huh?
You can thank J.D. Martinez
for that. Oh, that's why, obviously...
There's no Matt Boyd in the lineup.
Yeah, that's right. There's no Matt Boyd in the lineup. So we got... So Mikey... So after Upton bats fifth, then we got Mikey Matuk, whatever. He's batting sixth. Then seventh is James McCann, the catcher. And then look who's batting eighth. Sunshine.
Jacoby Jones.
The white Jacoby Jones.
Yes. The white Jacoby Jones. Sunshine,
the white shadow.
Sunshine is batting eighth. Jose Iglesias, greatest hits collection, is batting ninth.
I mean, the top half of this lineup is stacked.
Sick, yeah,
the
no bottom doubt.
Bottom half is very, very bad.
Leaves a lot to be desired.
That's nice of you. This team's going to sign. They're going to sign Melvin Upton, by the way.
I mean, honestly, that makes sense. I mean,
how does Melvin keep following Justin everywhere?
Yeah, you know, I mean, Mikey Matuk, you know.
You got to figure that. Like, if I had a brother... Right?
Even if it was younger brother?
If I had a younger brother and he didn't have a job, whatever.
Well, no. So, Melvin's the older brother.
It's brothers, period.
Okay.
and he didn't have a job, and my mother would be like, can you see if you can get Melvin a job?
Right.
And I'd be like, all right, let me talk to the general manager. And I'd be like, can you think you can hook my brother up with a job?
Right.
He'll work for close to, you know,
Major League minimum.
Major League still minimum. Yeah, which is still like a rich man. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So I think that's probably what happened. I really do.
Okay.
And he's like, going to
maybe not
void.
The mother calling part. Like, that part didn't happen.
It might have.
You never know. It could very it well could have. But they probably was like, oh, you know, Melvin, Justin, we see your brother was let go. You know what I'm saying? We think about bringing him in. Oh, that'd be a good look. My mother would appreciate that.
Yeah.
I totally agree with that. Yep. That's probably how it did go down. I think Melvin is going to fill a void that they desperately need. I mean, Jacoby Jones,
yeah,
he probably is a year away anyway. So, you know, they got some young guys there.
Here's a team that actually could use Melvin Upton pretty badly. All right, for the White Sox lineup, Corey.
Yeah, okay, so we got the White Sox. They'll be sending Jose Quintana to the mound, right? 4:10 p.m. Eastern time is the first pitch of that, if they get it in. Remember, this game has a 70% chance of precipitation. So their guy batting leadoff is Tyler Saladino, right?
Okay. Tyler Saladino, yeah.
Then number two is my guy Tim Anderson. I like Tim Anderson. Hopefully he has a nice day today. Number three is Melky Cabrera, not Miguel, Melky. Mm-hmm. So, you know, he's whatever. And fourth is Jose Abreu. He can play. They're going to be getting rid of most of these guys, too. Remind us about the White Sox. Then fifth is Todd Frazier. Batting sixth is Cody Ashe. Batting seventh is Avisel Garcia. Batting eighth is Omar Narvaez. And batting ninth is Jacob May. Who the hell is Jacob May?
Yeah, he was a kid.
Switch-hitting center fielder, Jacob
May. He had a good spring, and the White Sox are putting him in there. The White Sox, honestly, the middle of that lineup isn't bad.
Not bad at all.
The bottom of that lineup, once again, as we said about the Tigers, has a lot to be desired. Tim Anderson, I would have rather seen him leading off, but he's still in a good spot, batting second. Because I think Melky Cabrera doesn't get any respect from anybody, but he's a 280 hitter, you know, mid-teens homers. He's, as they say in the business, a professional hitter.
Yeah, no doubt. He's an everyday guy. You know what I'm saying? Hey, what you got? What's going on, Melky? Nothing much. I'm going out there and play some baseball. That's about it.
Yeah, a couple of years ago, I was doing what you said here, Matt. Like, professional hitter, he can do everything. And then he get a hit for like a couple months, and I got to know it.
And
again.
Then you cut him.
Yeah. Well,
wonderful. Did he end up batting 315?
No, he still sucked.
Okay.
He was terrible. All
right, okay. Everybody's allowed one down year. So there you go right there. That's the situation in Chicago today on the south side of town.
I got another lineup I got to read.
Which one?
The New York Mets.
Oh, boy. LGM. Have you seen the hashtags?
Hashtag LGM. No, the Mets logo.
There's exactly. So it's all
emoji,
like
emoji. Yeah.
All the baseball teams have these hashtags
WrestleMania
today.
WrestleMania had one too, just in case.
Yeah, I saw the WrestleMania one. All the baseball teams have these hashtags today. The Mets one is hashtag LGM.
Right.
I always do that. LGM.
Yeah, yeah. But I guess they took that. The Yankees one is the Bombers are back.
That's stupid.
It is, and it's long.
It's too long.
Yeah, it's too long.
It's like 140 characters right there.
Yeah, I mean, like, Baby Bombers would have been better with the youth.
Or
movie.
Evil Empire.
Or NYY.
Yeah, NYY.
NYY, or Let's Go Yankees, whatever.
Yeah.
It's stupid.
27.
Could you guess the match?
27 would have been the one I would have rolled with.
That would have been
perfect
right there.
Or the road to 28, something like that.
Yeah.
Matt. Can you guess the Mets lineup?
Oh, that's good. Let's see what he. Cause
I
a fan.
Actually saw it. Once you mentioned it,
oh,
I got excited. I didn't know we were playing that game.
I always assume here. All right, leading it off.
Let me guess it.
All right, you want to guess it?
Sure.
All right.
Leading off is Jose Reyes.
You correct.
All right.
Yep.
Hitting second is Asdrubal. You don't have the lineup right here.
I knew there was no way.
Hitting second is Asdrubal Cabrera. How you feel about him?
I like this Drubal. I mean, I think he's solid. I mean, he doesn't have the range at shortstop that you want, but he's a guy that when on the field is going to produce. He's just one of those solid kind of guys.
This is actually very interesting. There's something very interesting about this lineup. Very interesting. We'll get to in a second.
And I think the Kevin Long experience with him has helped his game out, too. And you see the surge in power. I don't know if he's hitting 23 again, but I think 18 to 20 is possible.
Batting third is Jonas Cespedes.
You want Cespedes?
That's their big guy. That's
big
their
guy.
Big guy right
Absolutely.
There.
Absolutely.
Batting fourth is Curtis Granderson.
Okay.
This is intriguing.
Makes
whatever.
Sense. Yep.
Batting fifth, Ricky Ray to ring the bell. On Corey Parsons' Tout Wars team. Second baseman, Neil Walker. Batting sixth is Jay Bruce.
Yep.
Batting seventh, get ready to ring the bell again, is Corey Parsons' Tout Wars team utility player, Lucas Duda.
You know what's interesting? Stuff there. So those, like, eight guys, those seven guys, pretty solid lineup.
Nice,
right?
Like, on this.
Pretty solid.
Decent.
No issue. A little bit of power.
It's not bad.
Yeah, pretty good. I mean, no Conforto in this lineup, obviously. But a pretty solid lineup overall, right? You know, no issues.
I have one issue, though. I don't like Granderson batting fourth.
Okay.
I figured you was going to say that.
I would have put either Bruce or Duda in that spot and moved Granderson either down a little further.
Okay.
That's my one little.
All right. But maybe it's a left-right thing.
Yeah, no, but I'm. Bruce and Duda are lefty and Granderson. So I think he would have been better served being in that sixth or seventh spot.
Okay. And then I think, so we just need the first seven hitters. Then I'm kind of surprised.
Well, there's a reason for this.
Okay.
It's been announced that Rivera is going to be Syndergaard's personal catcher this year.
Okay.
Which, knowing the past history of Travis d'Arnaud and his health and being able to stay in the field, it'll give him that guaranteed one day off a week.
But what does that say to you? Travis d'Arnaud's your starting catcher, and your ace of your staff, one of the best pitchers in baseball, says, I don't want to work with you. I don't want to work with Rene Rivera.
Hey, I'm
your Jacob deGrom. Why do you want to work with Travis d'Arnaud? No one gets to work with Rene Rivera. Why do I got to work with d'Arnaud?
Well, the big dog, I guess, gets to choose, and I guess that was
Jake deGrom's not a big enough dog, is what you're telling
me? He is a big dog, but I think Syndergaard is taking on the world right now, and you know he could possibly be the best pitcher in the game this season. So
yeah, no doubt about that. We got another. We have another evil team.
You're not surprised with the Rene Rivera thing?
Yeah, I am. I thought it would be Travis d'Arnaud, but Matt just broke it down. So there you go right there. We have another evil team lineup just came out.
This is a good one, too.
Another group of
glad to see this.
Overrated losers. The Boston baseball team lineup
for
opening day has dropped. So Dustin Pedroia is leading off for them. We kind of figured that, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then we got Benintendi batting second.
Which is something we've kind of assumed late in the spring as we kind of looked into it a little bit more, that Benintendi was going to bat second, which means Xander Bogaerts drops all the way down to sixth. And I thought they might come to their senses a little bit, move him up. They have not. So Xander Bogaerts batting sixth, sorry for spoiling it, here on opening day.
I personally, for me, I think it's the right move for the Red Sox, because Bogaerts could be more of a run producer down in the sixth hole. Benintendi gets the protection being between Pedroia and Betts. So he's the type of player that everybody's excited for. Bogaerts, I think he's a solid player. He's proven it. But I think he gives him that nice breakup in the bottom part of that lineup, and he just extends that lineup nicely. Because, you know, as we go down, we'll find out the five and seven hitters. So
Mookie Betts is batting third. Hanley Ramirez is batting cleanup for Boston. Mm-hmm. Mitch Moreland is fifth. He's batting fifth.
And
for them.
And by the way, playing first base. His entire lineup, right, left, right, left.
Yeah, that's what they're doing right here. Then they have Xander Bogaerts batting sixth, as we mentioned. Then Jackie Bradley Jr. is batting seventh. Then Pablo Sandoval batting eighth. And then Sandy Leon batting ninth. And that's the Boston whatever.
I mean, 1-7, that's a pretty deep lineup.
He's got a squad.
I mean, I don't know what the Panthers are going to do this year, you know. But 1-7, I think that's pretty stacked. If you're a Mitch Moreland owner, you have to be ecstatic.
Yeah.
I mean, batting fifth in that lineup is a very nice place to live in.
That's where you want to be. Let's take a break. We'll come back. Two more lives to give you. The Reds and the Phillies are out, including Corey's Tout War players, Howie Kendrick. And he's going to be very happy when he sees where he's in the lineup. Stick around. It's the Roto Experts in the Morning, Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Lineups are trickling in. Not only do we have the two I mentioned before, but the big one we've been waiting for. The Nationals are out as well.
He did the right thing.
He did, but I think it should have been Eaton 1, Turner 2. I mean,
spoiler alert, Jesus.
We thought it was going to be 7 or 8, though, at one point.
It's true. Worked out really well for Adam Eaton owners here.
I think Dusty got a call from the GM and was like,
yeah.
Yeah, let's not be foolish. So here we go.
Exactly.
Trey Turner, the superstar, the hero that everybody pushed up into the first round. He is batting leadoff for my Washington Nationals, who get their season started today as they look to win the National League East. Batting second is Adam Eaton. Eaton was losing value these past couple of draft weekends. because we didn't know where he was going to be at in the lineup. Mm-hmm. So now if you took that gamble on Eaton, he's batting second.
Now, it really surprises me because one of the reasons we just talked about the Red Sox being righty-lefty throughout the lineup, Dusty Baker is going to be caught at some point in this game because by Adam Eaton second and not first. You got three lefties in a row at the 2-3-4, Corey.
Yeah, you got three lefties in a row, which is not ideal, which is something that you normally don't see. I don't know what to tell you. What do you think about it? At some point, you think Eaton flips to one and Trey Turner goes to two?
I mean, to me, that makes more sense. Adam Eaton, the last three seasons, has an on-base percentage of 360 or higher. So right there is telling you that's a guy that gets on base. Prototypical leadoff batter. Trey Turner, you put him second. You break up
three lefties. Yeah.
You break up the solid three lefties. And Trey Turner's just going to see fastballs. You're guaranteeing Trey Turner fastballs in front of Bryce Harper. So for a kid in his second season, I think that's what you want to do. I mean, I'm not as concerned about a left-hander coming in against Harper, Murphy. You know, those are proven hitters. It's not ideal. You'd rather, you know. So I don't think Dusty's going to stick with this one for long. But then again, it's Dusty, so maybe I'm being foolish. And, you know, I mean, Steven Drew. I'll wait for the.
No, yeah.
I don't want to spoil everything.
But. So we got Turner, Eaton, Bryce Harper. MVP favorite Bryce Harper.
Yeah, he's going to be the 2017 MVP.
All right, so he's already been named.
Or he won't.
I kind of think he probably will also. Daniel Murphy is batting cleanup for my Washington Nationals. Ryan Zimmerman still hanging in there batting fifth. Jason Wirth still hanging in there batting sixth. Stephen Drew bats seventh. Matt Wieters bats eighth. And then Steven Strasburg is on the hill today for my Washington Nationals.
I'm interested to see how Strasburg looks today. Going to pitch out of the stretch, I believe, full time because it's less stress on that elbow. He had some issues with it. Let's see how Strasburg looks day one. Against tomorrow's lineup, it's got some hitters in Eaton, Yelich, and Stanton. As we continue on, as I said, the Reds and the Phillies, Corey, both lineups are out. Jeremy Hellix in the righty taking on Scott Feldman in a matchup everybody wants to see.
Yeah, this is one right here. Could be some rain in this one. So this is the one to keep my eye on too, especially if you're doing it for DFS purposes. For the Philadelphia Phillies, for the Phillies of Philadelphia. Shout out to Philadelphia. This game right here is at the Great American Small Park. So you got Cesar Hernandez batting leadoff for the Phillies. This guy, whatever. He's cool with me. Howie Kendrick. There you go. Corey Parsons' Tout Wars team. Oh, look who's batting third, Greg. Your boy, Odubel Herrera.
I got to tell you a story about Odubel Herrera.
I love it.
So I texted my friend on a Saturday, the one that drafted right after me, that drafted Odubel. And I was so mad at myself. Like, he's like, this is the one thing that still pisses me off. Like, even though it worked out, like, I got Kiermaier, I got Cam Broxton, and I got Ben Zobrist, and Matt Modica says it's better for my team anyway. I'm still pissed I just didn't take my guy, as Corey says I should be. Like, I'm myself, and I don't want to blame. So my buddy got engaged Saturday night, so we all went to celebrate at a bar afterwards. And he just came up to me and be going, "Odubel!" And he kept saying it. And every time he'd have another drink, he just run up to me, "Odubel!" And so I was like, "Oh, did you get that? I think the drink was called like a Roosevelt was the drink was called." He's like, "So you get a Roosevelt? Did you get like one shot or a double shot?"
I love it right there.
So then we leave the bar. And he texted me at 1:30 in the morning. He texts me, "Who's the St. Louis closer again?" I go, "Oh, what's that? Oh man, what's that wet stuff on the grass in the morning called?"
Dew.
It's called dew.
Yeah.
Ring my fill in the blank.
Yeah.
Bell.
Oh, dew bell. Yeah.
I just gave him the thumbs down emojis. Yeah. And a bunch of finger emojis.
Yeah,
and I go after yourself nice emojis.
He's having fun with you. He's really taking it to the next level.
Yeah. So that was my night on Saturday night. I wanted to choke this kid out. Nevertheless, Odubel Herrera batting third, Corey.
Odubel Herrera batting third. Miguel Franco hitting cleanup today versus Scott Feldman. I think Miguel Franco has decent reverse splits. He could be an intriguing DFS play today. Michael Saunders batting sixth. Tommy Joseph.
Michael Saunders batting fifth.
Excuse me, I'm sorry. Michael Saunders batting fifth. Tommy Joseph batting sixth. Cameron Rupp seventh. Freddie Galvis eighth. Jeremy Hellickson's on the hump.
pretty much what we expected in this lineup, right, Modica? Mm-hmm. I know a lot of people are very, very high on Tommy Joseph. He's batting sixth today. Of course, the potential move up. Phillies lineup, I know a lot of people are kind of excited about some of the pieces, like Cameron Rupp, Tommy Joseph, Michael Saunders, Michael Franco, Odubel Herrera. People are in on the Phillies lineup, Great American Ballpark, as Corey said. So, interesting. This will be an interesting game to watch from a hitter's perspective.
Pretty much, because, I mean, Jeremy Hellickson was a guy that I was on last year, a guy that I've kind of stayed away this year. I don't know if he can do it again, but Scott Feldman is a guy that you kind of lick your lips when you see his name as the opposing starting pitcher.
Yeah.
So I think Odubel is going to have a nice day today.
I'm putting him right in my lineup right now.
See, I think that's a good move, Cole.
Odubel?
Yep. Odubel's going in my lineup right now.
Well, see, at least jumps you off play the page. You could play him in DFS.
Yo, yeah, play him in DFS,
yeah.
Greg.
Yeah.
This way you still have, like, you know. You
play him every. Okay, here's what I did. I put him in my Beat the Streak today.
Good job.
I put him in my Beat the Streak.
Good job.
I was walking here. I'm excited because it's nice out. It's baseball season. So I'm setting my Beat the Streak, like, on my walk to work this morning. And the first guy I put in, I was like, I got to put Odubel.
Yeah, no doubt. No doubt about that. And this way you get to. You're not dating him like you wanted to.
Right.
But you're still.
One night standing him.
He's like your mistress for Christmas.
Yeah, you can text him. You know what I'm saying? Stuff like that. He'll text back. Whatever. You might be getting lunch or something like that every now and then, and maybe you get lucky. All right, so where are we at? Where did we leave off at?
Now you're doing the Reds.
All right, so they're going against the Cincinnati Reds.
Yes.
So this team sucks.
Mm-hmm.
But they do have a couple pieces. You feel what I'm saying?
Sure do.
Their opening day starter, Scott Feldman, kind of lets you know where they're at pitching wise. Okay? So now they got Billy Hamilton. He's very fast, young man, batting leadoff. Jose Peraza,
mm-hmm.
rookie. He's a rookie, right?
Is he still a rookie?
No, he's not a rookie.
Yeah,
no
I
more.
Don't know if he had the at bats. I think he did qualify last season.
Okay, so he did qualify
certain threshold.
But he's a very good, very exciting, good young player. Then if batting third, you have Joey Votto, who's if this game is played, will be a very good DFS play today. Batting fourth, get ready to ring the bell. This is the player on my Tout Wars team that nobody likes, Adam Duvall. But he hits cleanup, and he plays it, the Great American Small Park. But, so whatever.
I mean, that is what to like about Duvall. He is playing in that park. He's batting fourth. Well, I mean, the key is if Hamilton and Peraza get on base, then you got Votto. And it will set up very nice for Duvall.
So there you go right there. We'll see what happens with him. Eugenio Suarez is hitting fifth. Playing third base for the Cincinnati Reds.
I like Suarez a lot. I like the spot in the lineup for him a lot as well. I'm happy to see him here, Modica. I think he's been sort of a nice year. He steals some bases, too. He's got power. He steals bases. I like him.
Yeah, I mean, he's not a bad little player. I like saying Eugenio, so there's that.
So I'm looking for this thing that Nando sent me. Hold on.
The pronunciation guide.
Yeah.
Is it Eugenio?
It's not.
Eugenio?
No.
What, the Baseball America? Just go in there.
Hold on.
Pretty much break it
he
down
said it to me. He said it. Hold on 1 second. Oh, this is exactly what Florio sent me, too. All right. So here we go. It's. All right, here we go. Eugenio. Oh, no, wrong guy. Sorry. No. It's.
Eugenio Suarez.
Yeah, that's what it is. Eugenio Suarez.
Eugenio Suarez is batting fifth. He's playing third base. We got Scott Schlebler.
Scott Schlebler?
Schlebler.
That's correct.
What's his name?
Schlebler.
Scott Schlebler.
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 Is batting sixth.
Jesus.
He's a left-handed right fielder. Greg, I didn't write his damn name. I didn't make it up, okay?
I feel like it's like too Jewish of a name for you. That's the problem.
No, I'm trying the best I could. Yeah. I have plenty of friends. All right, so then we got Zach. I have been over my house now. Let me stop. Then we got Zach Cozart, who's supposed to be a thing a while ago. He's batting seven for the Reds. Tucker Barnhart, Dollar Make You Holler at the catcher spot, is batting eighth. And then Scott Feldman, as we talked about earlier, is on the mound for this group of ragtags right here.
There you go.
Yeah, I think this the one thing with this lineup is I don't know what he's going to be when he does get off the DL, but Devin Mesoraco, when he comes onto this team, can he capture any of the past glory and improve this lineup?
Absolutely.
Uh-oh, we got another lineup out.
We got another lineup out. It's the Milwaukee Brewers. And this is a really interesting one as well. We were waiting for this one, Corey.
Oh, yeah, because you got a couple of things we want to see right off the
bat. Sure
right,
do.
Right
I'm not happy.
You're not happy.
All right.
Break it down for us, Corey.
All right, so Matt, stop me when you're not happy. Batting leadoff is Jonathan Villar.
Happy.
All right, he's no problem with that.
Because he's happy.
Remember, that was the jam.
That was a jam for like a year.
Yeah, I know. That was very long.
It was here comes surprise number one.
This is where I'm not happy.
Yes.
And this, I figure, is where you were going right here. Batting second is Eric Thames.
Eric Thames, number two. And you had to think Keon Broxton was going to be here.
I would have liked to see the switch.
Literally with Keon Broxton is what I wanted to see.
Yeah, exactly.
I think switch those two guys. Yeah.
Why is that?
Oh, I wanted to, first off, I mean, Broxton had a propensity to strike out this year, as we all know, with that 36%.
Clear. Yeah.
You put him second. You get Villar, who gets it. Villar gets on base. You've got Broxton second. Braun's backing him up. That means he's going to see fastballs. You want him to see the fastballs. You want batting sixth is not ideal for me. I want that power. I want that speed combo. Get Villar on. And he gets another hit. You want these rabbits up top.
All right, then.
I think if Thames shows the power that we expect, I have to imagine he'll eventually protect Ryan Braun because Travis Shaw, cleanup, sorry, Corey, is not going to get the job done.
Yeah, I mean, Travis Shaw's a guy I kind of like.
He's a six-hitter.
Six, exactly. That's the other thing. You put Thames fourth, you have the Santana five.
Exactly. Yeah, it seems so simple to us.
It does seem so simple to us.
Well, the manager also has a job to do, and he's a smart guy,
he's
what I'm saying?
Pissing me off today.
He's a smart guy, so he's going to figure out the best thing that works for his players. Now, I have an issue with this thing. Now let me know this. Okay, so you got Travis Shaw batting cleanup.
Ryan Braun was third, by the way.
Ryan Braun is third.
Yeah,
Travis Shaw is cleanup. Domingo Santana's batting fifth. Keon Broxton sixth. Jet Bandy catcher.
Wow, his name is Jet. I always thought it was Jeff.
Jet Bandy.
Wow.
Orlando Arcia is the shortstop. He's batting eighth.
So that one kind of annoys me also because I think Arcia is going to have a nice year. Like batting eighth is just not going to be fantasy relevant enough for me.
Yeah, I mean it's not ideal, but the one thing with the Milwaukee Brewers is they're going to run.
Yeah.
So I think Arcia is just going to rack up some stolen bases just on default of the team philosophy. Like I said, they're a young team. I agree. The Travis Shaw batting fourth, that should be Thames. Put him sixth. I don't know why this was so complicated.
So when they bring my guy up, where's my guy going to play? Park.
Wait, who?
Park.
Park's on Minnesota.
Wrong team. The M's got me messed up. I apologize. I'm like, wait a minute. So, all right, so this is decent right here.
It's a lineup that I think most people were waiting on to see and were excited about.
And now I'm pissed off about.
Yeah, now I think we're a little. I mean, Travis Shaw becomes a nice little play today.
He does.
I'm no DFS expert or anything. But
Travis Shaw, there you go.
He's batting fourth. Left-handed power in Miller Park plays, too.
Get him in the lineup, Corey.
But he's going up against my guy, John Gray.
He is going up against John Gray.
I can't do that. I want John Gray to be successful.
We await the Rockies lineup, the Pirates lineup, and a whole bunch more, of course. A lot of these games are at night, or three of these games are at night. A couple of 4 o'clock games. We don't have those. I do expect to get the Rockies and the Pirates at some point soon, though, so you'll have to wait for that. We'll take a break. We're going to come back. We'll talk a little bit about Rob Gronkowski. I got to tell these guys a story about the LPGA from over the weekend. Stick around. The Roto Experts in the Morning continues right after this. Back here on the Roto Experts in the Morning, Tony asked us this when we joined him about an hour ago now. 2 hours ago now. That was quick. It was a quick show today.
Holy crap.
Rob Gronkowski is actually a very funny story. So before the show last night, there was a battle royal for a trophy, so not really anything important. And the guy that won is this dude, Mojo Rawley. Who is he? Went to the University of Maryland. His tights is all Maryland out last night.
Nice.
So that was cool. And he's best friends with Gronk. Like, notably best friends with Gronk. So when you saw some guys that you thought could win this battle royal get eliminated, you're like, well, Mojo's going to win. They show Gronk in the front row, the whole deal. So this wrestler, totally planned spot, gets in Gronk's face and starts talking crap. He takes his water and he pours it on his head, like the whole deal. So then Gronk walks over the barrier to get in the ring. And a woman security guard rushes over to try to stop him.
Mm.
And like these other people there had to pull her away. Like, yeah. Listen, it's part of the show. Let him go. What are you doing? And then you see like this shot of her like in the back corner, like hysterically laughing because she like got so caught off she didn't realize it. So Gronk gets in the ring, gets in a 3-point stance, and just basically just does a shoulder tackle on a guy.
Yeah.
And then him and Mojo like jump around, they chest bump, and eventually Mojo wins the whole thing and celebrates with Gronk. Why? So now it's all over SportsCenter. Is Gronk in the WWE ring celebrating with Mojo Rawley? Now, Gronk missed from week 12 on through the Super Bowl. Gronk missed the entire rest of the season with a back injury, severe back injury, and had back surgery. Here he is, first Sunday in April, doing shoulder tackles in a wrestling ring. I understand it's not tackling and catching and all that stuff, but it's an athletic endeavor in a wrestling ring, not for the Patriots, not insured. I know he wasn't going to get hurt. He didn't take a bump. He didn't fall on his back. None of that stuff. And there was very little physical contact. I get it. If you're a Pats fan, Modica, you're seeing Gronk run around in the ring. How are you feeling right now?
I'm not feeling good. I mean, I don't want to see him anywhere near a wrestling ring, to be exact, even if whatever you say, shoulder tackle and all that stuff. But, you know, I want Gronk being
a football player.
Yeah. Fully healthy, yeah. come training camp. That's the goal. You need this guy on the field.
Like, he better be ready for training camp if he's at WrestleMania.
Yeah, I mean,
Rob Gronkowski is only about his brain. Doesn't make a difference. Rob Gronkowski is about Rob Gronkowski's brain.
So I hate to be like the a-hole then? He should be.
Yeah,
no doubt. I agree.
I mean, some of these injuries are just like, you know, nothing you could do. But the fact that you're going in a wrestling ring... That to me, if he would have been fully healthy to end the season and played in the Super Bowl and they won, yeah, great. But the fact that he wasn't, like you said, since week 12, he shouldn't have been in that ring.
You know, I agree. If he was totally healthy, it was fine. I don't like it. I wouldn't like it either as a Patriots fan, Corey.
No, it's a Patriots fan. You're not going to like it because this is, you know, how many off seasons do you have to watch Rob Gronkowski get on the boat and party with this person and party with that one? And he's Mardi Grasist and Las Vegas that and Kentucky Derby and South Beach and WrestleMania. But then when it's week 12, he ain't a damn owner's box.
Yeah, look,
I'm sick of it. You know what I mean?
Yeah, you know, this was what was weird to me was that like he wasn't on the sidelines, he wasn't around, he was in the owner's box.
Yeah,
I don't like that either. Something was up with Gronk, I thought.
Yeah, I just want the party invitation. You know? Yeah, I want to go to Kentucky Derby with the Gronk and all this other
stuff.
Yeah,
but still, the bottom line is you're paid to play football. You don't do that often. You don't.
Yeah.
And everybody protects Rob Gronkowski. Oh, no, he's just one of the guys. He's having fun, yada, yada, yada. Rob Gronkowski needs to get his act together.
No, I had a lot of hate for me after I drafted him with the third pick in the third round of the NFFC Super. So.
It's not a bad value.
It wasn't. That's why I took him. I didn't want to take him, but you know.
I don't draft tight ends early.
Do it. New. Well, this year I did take Jordan Reed early.
So also at WrestleMania last night, as you said to earlier on, Corey, the Undertaker retired.
Yeah, so shout out to the Taker. He's retired.
Yeah, he's done.
How's Goldberg?
He's not going to be at WrestleMania again next year?
No.
Are you sure? He's not going to come back again. Yeah. He's not going to pop out of a casket and Jim Ross go be like, oh my God, it's Taker! It's Taker! I thought he was dead! He came back from hell! Yeah. That's not going to happen.
Yeah, no.
The script hasn't been made yet. You know?
Okay.
I mean, you guys are laughing and stuff, but he's done. Like, he left all his gear in the middle of the ring. Took all the gear off, laid in the middle of the ring, went and like kissed his wife. And, like, the Undertaker doesn't do that. The Undertaker stays in character.
Yeah.
Kissed his wife. And the Undertaker's so old that they had the longest ramp in WWE history last night. It was like 80 feet long with a ramp. Basically the length of a football field. And the Undertaker had to walk down that thing, you know.
Yeah.
Still, you know, he'd still be walking. Yeah. So in the middle of the ramp, I guess they had like a platform and he just like takes him. Under the stage.
Yeah.
Like backstage. So he just like walks there. He puts his arm up and then just lowers his neck. So, you know, Undertaker's not walking. But anyway, kissed his wife, broke character, and then went back under stage. Undertaker's gone.
So
Jim Ross came back, announced his match.
Yeah, okay. So shout out to Undertaker for his
contributions
to sports entertainment.
Yeah.
Oh.
There it is. There's the gauntlet.
Shit, he's coming.
answer your question.
Oh, boy. I've always get very nervous.
Goldberg wrestled for under 5 minutes, I think, under 10 minutes. He got destroyed by Brock Lesnar, your new Universal Champion.
Oh, he's the new champ, Brock Lesnar?
Brock is the new champion. The rest of the show.
He tried out football, right? He was trying with the Vikings.
Yeah, trying with the Vikings. He's with the UFC, made a lot of money, and then came back to the WWE, making even more money. So Brock's the new champ. Not really, and the Hardys came back. Nothing else really notable for a mainstream perspective. Like I said, we'll break down wrestling a little bit more on the Fantasy BFS. Frank Staffel and I, we're texting all day. We'll have you covered there. We're going to take a break. We'll come back. I'll tell you this LPGA story. We'll see if any more lineups come out. We'll wrap it up with some baseball and some of the OGs. It's the Roto Experts in the Morning. Wrap it up after this. So do you guys remember? I know this may be tough. I don't know if it's with golf fans. Do you remember that Dustin Johnson, like, did something wrong on a hole, and then like 4 or 5 holes later, like, yeah, we gotta take some points off because you screwed this up. You guys remember that at all? Vaguely?
Vaguely.
Yeah.
Okay.
Vaguely.
So over the weekend, Lexi Thompson, who is the best American female golfer
ever?
Currently.
Okay.
Is participating in a major. This is the first women's major of the season. And she's going, goes into the final round with the lead. And she's playing her final round with the lead. And they in the middle of the round, they assessed her a scoring penalty from the day before.
And oh, like, that's bad, like, wait, business, wait, wait, right? Wait. That's ridiculous.
She's like, what? What happened was she put her marker down and then placed her ball like too far away from the marker. So that's like a 2-stroke penalty. And then plus she signed an illegal scorecard. So that's another 2-stroke penalty. So that's 4 strokes. Wow. So she wound up losing in the tournament. I don't know how she lost by, but she lost because of this rule. So how they figured this out from the day before, some idiot or a-hole was sitting on their couch and like called the LPGA rules expert and said, listen, Lexi screwed up. You should check into this.
That's crazy.
Some guy probably bet money. Honestly, somebody probably bet money on this.
Mm-hmm.
Was watching this very intently. Called up, found an email or a phone number for the LPGA, called them up, and got this rule change. I got this rule assessed on Lexi. She signed her scorecard yesterday or on Saturday. Nobody thought anything was amiss or awry. No problem. She's going into the final round leading, and because of this, she dropped second place,
yeah,
and she wound up losing on that.
Yeah, you see,
penalty.
That's crazy. See, if that
somebody
was
watching TV call, how is that acceptable?
See, if that was me, I'd have been in the office this morning like, listen, somebody can cut me a check. I don't know whose pocket is going to come out of. Somebody's going to cut me a
I'm
check.
I'm paying for braces this week.
Somebody's
cutting
me a check. I don't know who it is. It's coming out of somebody's ass. Somebody's cutting me a check.
That's insane. It's insane. Like, and every
in any other sport, I would totally agree with you. And it's insane that some guy off the couch did it.
Yeah.
But golf is the game of etiquette. And,
yeah,
you know, the higher morality standards, like, yeah, you know, right, only us play, you know. So if it's going to happen in any sport, it's going to happen in golf. So.
Tiger Woods tweeted, viewers at home should not be officials wearing stripes. Let's go, Lexi, win this thing anyway. Tiger,
well,
Woods
Tiger
tweeted.
Woods, wow.
And then everybody did. Like, Ricky Fowler tweeted it out, and obviously Ricky Fowler's tweet.
They should, yeah, they should give, they should, they, yeah, she, if I'm her, I'm in the office this morning.
And she also has the Twitter account, at Lexi, so that's impressive.
How does she look?
That's what I was going to say. I was like, Tiger's probably calling her to come over.
Tiger's like,
guys, not
Lexi, Lexi,
guys.
Lexi, I'll take care of you.
Yeah, come on. Come on over to the mansion, you know.
Not important.
I'll console you.
Sorry.
Not important at all.
Well, that's where my mind went right away.
Well, that's
what's other than that?
It's the morning, Greg.
Even still, not a thing. As we said, South Carolina women are the national champions.
Yeah, shout out to Dawn Staley, the South Carolina women's basketball team. They got it done. They went out there and they got that big W, taking down Mississippi State. Of course, the story, though, was Mississippi State, who you know, they knocked off a humongous upset, taking down the UConn women's team after they had won 111 games. So then they go on again after you beat UConn women to get to the championship. It's already like we already won the championship.
Yeah.
So they were coming into a tough spot anyway, because obviously, you beat the UConn women team. That takes everything out of you. Then you get up a day later for, you know, South Carolina, very well-coached team and stuff like that. So, Shout out to the Lady Gamecock. Shout out to Dawn Staley, young lady from Philadelphia. She's been around women's basketball for as long as I can remember.
She was the second woman in history to win a national championship as a player and a coach.
Yeah, there you go right there. So that is Dawn Staley, her wasn't squad right
like,
there.
Wasn't that like the best thing that could have happened to college basketball, though? It got them all that attention that UConn lost.
Yep.
You got to see that dramatic buzzer beater. And then
Dak Prescott at the game
going
Prescott crazy. Yeah,
Prescott was all geared up, all jerseyed up. And then you got to see the other team win. South Carolina, like that. So Michigan State got all that hoopla, all that love for what they did. So, I mean, look, UConn has just been like, you know.
They've been dominant.
So damn dominant. So yeah. I think for if you're a fan of women's college basketball, nothing could have worked out.
Yeah, no doubt about that. And then, like you said, but even like a fan, because I'm not going to really, I don't sit down and watch too many women's college basketball. Remember the Terps were good for a while. And they
upset the Sweet 16 this year.
Yeah, they would be on TV a lot also. So I would check them out. But it was definitely cool to see somebody besides Connecticut in that Gino Auriemma, who I'm not a fan of. It was good to see somebody else besides him get it done. So shout out to the Lady Game Clocks and Coach Staley once again.
There you go. They are the national champions after defeating the Mississippi State.
I think Dawn Staley coaches USA Women's, right?
Gino doesn't coach them?
Huh?
Gino doesn't coach them?
I think Dawn Staley coaches USA Women.
Okay.
Or Dawn Staley takes over as USA Women's coach, like,
Next Olympics.
Next Olympics, yeah, something like that.
Because Gino coached them, didn't he?
Yeah, he coached them, but I think Staley is like...
Take it over.
Staley's replacing him, yeah.
I think
when she played ball.
I think you're right, and everyone's very happy with that choice of Dawn Staley as the choice.
I don't know why, but she's always been a very popular women's player.
She's young. She's only 46.
Oh, okay.
I remember
when she was a star playing high school ball. People, you know, used to talk about
it. It was a long time ago.
I know. Well, I'm, you know.
Not that old. You remember where she went to college?
She didn't play. She didn't play. She was a star in college. She didn't play in. She didn't play for Temple. She coached at Temple. She played in the ACC. Did she play for Virginia?
She did.
She played for Virginia, yeah.
Played for Virginia, Virginia Cavaliers.
No, you know, it's like, you know, Swoops was always a whole score. Swoops. And Staley were like the most popular. Rebecca Lobo, like the most popular.
In the inaugural WNBA class.
Yeah, exactly.
What's her name? Lisa Leslie as
well.
Yeah,
Lisa Leslie also. Yep.
I'm sorry, who went to the Hall of Fame?
Lobo.
Yes, yeah, so Rebecca Lobo went to the Hall of Fame this week. That's right. So in that inaugural draft in 1999, Dawn Staley, the ninth overall pick to the Charlotte Sting. went to play for the Sting until 2005, went to the Comets to end her career. Then became the head coach at
Temple.
Temple.
Right? Yep.
I don't understand. How is she the head coach of Temple and she played at the same time? Is that possible?
I don't know how that happened. they got different rules. She's from Philadelphia. She coached
at Temple while playing the WNBA. That's crazy.
Is that like a summer season?
Maybe that's what it is.
It's very impressive. So she went from Temple to South Carolina and, as Corey said, takes over as coach of USA this year because Gino stepped down.
Yep, so there you go right there. So now she gets the chance to get her program rolling. But trust me, Connecticut women's basketball will be right back. They'll be right back.
Hey, of course they are.
Yeah.
That's why they're, you know. So now they're hungry. You know, some will say they're hungry. All right, gentlemen, opening day today. What are you looking for? What are you most excited about, Bodica?
I'm just so happy that the, you know, Mets games are going to count now. Seeing Syndergaard on the mound. And very optimistic. Very optimistic.
Mets, 1 o'clock. You can meet Matt Wadika at the Greenwich Street Tavern, GST. He'll be there for the game at 1 o'clock. Corey, what are you most looking forward to today?
I'm happy and excited to get some DFS baseball going, start to see the points tabulate. You know what I mean?
And the dollars click.
No doubt about that. So it's welcome back for baseball. Hopefully the rain gives us a pretty good day. And we got some exciting things going on as far as on the mound with Clayton Kershaw and Noah Syndergaard and Verlander and Strasburg all take the mound today. So, and then if the Mets lose, it would make it perfect.
That's not nice.
It's the truth.
It's being honest. That's not nice. You know, for me, I'm excited to see my players get hits. And, like, I get to sit here, watch every baseball game. We're in a bar. Hopefully they have a baseball package here.
Probably not.
But I want to be able to just watch all the games and watch my players, you know. Had a lot of players yesterday. Today, my first players was like Nolan Arenado's at 2 o'clock. So very excited to see my man Nolan. Very excited for that. I'm excited. Baseball is back. We're here. It's opening day.
It's a glorious day.
And tomorrow we're going to come on and we're talking about real stats and real things that matter and real games. And it's all real now. OGs are next. Old School Fantasy, Corey Parson, George Kurtz, Scott Angle. Matt Wadika's hanging out because it's opening day, because why not? So, for Matty Moe, for Corey Parson, I'm Greg Sussman. Have a wonderful opening day. It's a holiday, gentlemen and ladies. Enjoy the games. Enjoy baseball. Tell your bosses you're busy. You got baseball to watch. We'll see you back here tomorrow, 8 a.m. Eastern.